Good morning. This is Abby with your daily Berlin briefing for Wednesday, September 9th, 2020. Germany has a variety of services that warn and inform the population as quickly as possible in case of an emergency, like natural disasters or terrorist attacks. For the first time, they will be simultaneously tested throughout the whole country starting at 11 a.m. tomorrow. The testing will include antiquated methods like sirens, which in some places they still use, some of which date back to the Second World War. There are also warning apps and warnings via radio and television or on digital information boards. An overview of the warning day is as follows. At 11 a.m., a nationwide test alarm will take place when all available warning devices will be tested. These include warning apps, news via radio and TV, but also sirens. And at 11:20, the all clear will follow. With sirens, the warning is given by a 1 minute up and down swelling tone, and the all clear is then given by a 1 minute continuous tone. The date was chosen to reach as many people as possible because most of the country is already back in school. And in the future, the warning day is to take place every year on the second Thursday in September. According to the Federal Office for Civil Protection and Disaster Assistance, or BBK, the main purpose of the exercise is to practice emergency situations with the population. According to BBK President Christoph Unger, it has been shown that people in crisis situations mainly resort to familiar and already learned things. In addition, there's an increasing number of natural catastrophes, for example, the heat waves of 2018 and 2019, terrorist attacks such as those in Halle or Hanau recently, or pandemics such as the coronavirus. These events have shown that a warning system is important. Berlin also wants to sensitize its citizens to the topic. There will be many sirens wailing, but the local authorities will decide exactly which warning devices will be used. While Brandenburg is relying on sirens, warnings via app and radio are the main focus in Berlin. There are currently no sirens in the capital, but according to Senator Geisel, digital advertisement boards will show warnings. Sirens are considered a reliable warning device, especially at night, which is why authorities believe they are still necessary. For example, sirens wake people from sleep when television, radio, and cell phones are switched off. However, the system also has weaknesses. Sirens can only signal that danger is imminent, but not which one. Loudspeaker vehicles can be used to warn the population in a much more concrete way, and warning apps like Nina and Katvarn can send warnings directly to mobile phones. Nina was developed by the Federal Office for Civil Protection and Disaster Assistance in Bonn and is linked to the so-called modular warning system, which is the federal government's satellite-based system that disseminates warnings from the BBK and local alerts from control centers. Nina also receives weather and flood warnings from the German Weather Service. According to the Berlin Senate, Katvarn is a, quote, supplementary warning system. The app was developed by the Fraunhofer Institute for Open Communication Systems and is designed to warn of fires, storms, or sudden dangers via SMS, email, or smartphone app, and provides recommendations for behavior. According to the Berlin Fire Department, the warnings are localized to endangered zip code areas. Overnight, Monday into Tuesday, the Willy Brandt House, the SPD party headquarters in Kreuzberg, was vandalized by yet unknown persons. According to the police, a security patrol found pink graffiti, which included the abbreviation L34, a common abbreviation for the autonomous housing project Liebig 34 in Friedrichshain, one of the last symbols of the radical left-wing scene in the city, whose residents were recently served an eviction decision by the courts. The state security department is now investigating. After the illegal party in Hasenheide at the end of July, the district of Neukölln estimates the costs for cleaning and damage to vegetation at just under 88,000 euros. Neukölln's district mayor, Martin Hickel, expressed his annoyance on Tuesday, stating, quote, "With this result, it should be clear to everyone that parties in green spaces are not an option. It concerns garbage disposal, but the damage to the vegetation is even more serious." Per police reports, about 3,000 people had celebrated in the park on the night of July 26th, and its breakup lasted several hours. According to the district's list, lawns that had just been renovated in the park were completely destroyed, costing about 40,000 euros, and brush and shrub-covered areas were destroyed extensively, costing an estimated 30,000 euros. The cleanup included irrigation of large areas because of fecal contamination, and broken glass, confetti, bottle caps, and cigarette butts had to be raked and removed. Hickel emphasized that he wants green spaces to serve as recreation for all, adding, quote, "and that will only work if we can protect and take better care of them." FDP Member of Parliament Bernd Schlomo explained, quote, "Unorganized gatherings like the illegal party in the Hasenheide are highly risky and currently inappropriate, even if some long for it." In addition, he added that such parties are a burden on the entire urban community and households, stressing, quote, "90,000 euros is too much." In the Hasenheide, people repeatedly partied illegally despite corona restrictions all summer long, and the police and public order office only showed an increased presence after the incident on July 26th. According to an online survey, Berliners missed their sports clubs, self-help groups, and dance clubs most during the corona period in the spring. Talia Blokland, professor at the Georg Simmel Center for Metropolitan Research at Humboldt University, stated, quote, "The people who have taken part in the survey so far were longing over the lockdown for precisely the places where they normally see acquaintances and also get into conversation with strangers. We need these places for our lives, and the city needs them for its cohesion. It would be completely wrong to think that sports clubs, soccer stadiums, or dance clubs are places of superfluous pleasure." For example, the fans of Erste FC Union missed their Alte Försterei remarkably. According to the survey, they found it much harder to lose their stadium visits than Hertha fans who have filled out the survey. More than 2,000 people have so far taken part in the Urban Life During Corona survey. The questionnaire contains more than 20 different places and activities for which the respondents can state how much they missed them. The scale ranges from 1, not at all, to 10, very strongly. The activities like doing sports in a club or visiting the Alte Försterei have received the highest average scores so far, followed by self-help groups, clubs, discos and dancing venues, and fitness studios. Gambling establishments and shopping centers achieved the lowest values so far. With the survey, researchers want to find out how the corona pandemic has changed the everyday life of people in the capital and the surrounding area. Interested parties can still participate until September 30th, and the survey can be found by following the link in our show notes. If you like our podcast, you can support us simply by liking and sharing our episodes on social media. You can also connect with us on Facebook and Twitter, where we occasionally post updates on breaking news. Berlin Briefing will be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening.